The 1-2 pitch. Strike three called. The ball game is all over. And the Gators have won the Gainesville Regional.
Their fifth starter, Will Zierzow, trying to finish the deal. Third base side, Busby. Florida State surges into the Super Regional, 6-0.
And what do you know, there are Florida and Florida State alive in the Super Regionals again. We're pretty used to that around these parts when it comes to the FSU perspective. You know, it says IMG, but when it comes to knowledge, it's OMG when you're talking Tom Block. And he joins us right now on the hotline. Tom, good morning. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing super. Listen, you've been there, done that with this FSU baseball team a lot of times. But first things first, I'd like to say thank you to the committee for not putting Florida and Florida State in the Super Regional again. That got old. I mean,
well,
together,
you know. And you were on the winning side.
Many times. Yeah. Yeah.
Look how old it's been from the Seminole side of the ledger on that.
You fell in love with Tallahassee, didn't you? I mean, we went to school about the same time. We've crossed paths for years and years and years. And I know you're from South Florida. You went to school at FSU. And, man, the time goes fast, doesn't it? You've really settled in there with your family. And I take it that Tallahassee is probably where you consider home now, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, and I'm one of those stories. You know, and there's a lot of FSU folks because given the population of the state, high number of alums live in South Florida, Central Florida, Tampa area. I never thought I'd end up staying here, but it worked out, and I've enjoyed it. It's a good place to raise kids, so I've got no qualms with it. The airport situation sucks, but other than that, it's a pretty good town.
last night was why we love sports. I mean, here's Will Zierzow, who hadn't pitched in nearly a month, never gone more than five innings, and with FSU down to basically batting practice arms, when they needed him the most, he was not just good, he was dominant. What happened?
If I could answer that, I Mike Martin said after the game he was hoping he could get four innings out of Zierzow. In my head, I was thinking between him and Chase Haney, if they could somehow piece together five innings out of those two, then they might have enough arms to go an inning at a time the rest of the way. And lo and behold, a two-hit complete game. It was really impressive. I think what happened, and you watch a lot of the SEC, Jeff. You know, there tends to be more power arms in the SEC. And Auburn was jumping on the first pitch, and Florida State was pitching backwards. And Auburn just couldn't lay off of his breaking ball. So they were behind in the count all game long. And it wound up being just a terrific effort. But I think more than that, not just last night's game, but for this FSU team to come out of the loser's bracket from Friday and win four in a row and pitch the way they did over four games, really one of the more memorable regional performances I can recall for FSU.
And you get a super regional. What a bonus, huh? I mean, suddenly, you know, a baseball season that looked like expectations might be, you know, tampered just a little bit. Instead, now it's turning into something somewhat magical. And I tell you what else I like about what FSU is doing. You know, they're having to fight for what they get here. I mean, it's not been – you know, it's not been a walk in the park for Florida State, and this regional kind of summarizes that.
Yeah, and you know what's been different about this year compared to about every other year under Mike Martin is that this year there were actual legitimate struggles. I mean, to the point that in late April we were talking about, is this team going to make the tournament? So if you think about it that way, this team has basically played the last probably 25 games in, not technically an elimination game, but really with more pressure than what they've had on them typically in late April and May historically. So maybe that's been a factor. You know, they've basically played knowing that they better get their act together, and now perhaps the pressure isn't as great as they're into the postseason.
You know, I've never subscribed to this so-and-so coach or so-and-so player deserves anything. You get what you earn, but it would be a nice story if Mike Martin could finally claim that crown in Omaha. I don't care if you're a Gator or a Cane or Seminole. If you've come across Mike Martin, as you have dealt with 1,000 times and I have 100 times, you can't help but root for a guy who has done it the right way and has been such a bright spot in Tallahassee for so many years. And I don't know what the number's up to. Is it 16, 17 times he's been to Omaha and FSU hasn't won? I mean, we're approaching, just – insane numbers.
He's been 15 times as head coach, and then you tack on more if you count Florida State historically. Well, and actually he went once as an assistant, I think, and once as a player too. But yeah, you said it right. I mean, he's first class. He's consistently good. I don't know that, and you're as plugged into sports as anybody. But when you see a graphic that's got consecutive 40-win seasons,
yeah.
and the team that's first on the list is at 40,
yeah,
and the teams that are second on the list are at 6,
yeah.
I mean, that's about as jarring a stat,
yeah,
or a testament to consistency as you can see. And you know, now Martin has his detractors here, and generally speaking, that has to do with the fact that he hasn't won the national title. You know, has he made some bad calls or bad decisions over the years? I'm sure he has, and I'm sure you could say the same about coaches who've won the national title too. So at some point, it would be nice if everything just aligned. At this point, you know, I think for FSU, they're 2 wins away from getting back to Omaha, and that would certainly be great to see for Mike Martin as he's in the twilight of his career. But it's, you know, just because Sam Houston State is not a power name, if you will, out of the Power Five, they just beat Arizona twice and Texas Tech twice on the road. So, I mean, it'll be a fight this weekend.
FSU does get the advantage of playing at home, and that'll get going on Friday. I'm going to take advantage of you, Tom, while I've got you on the phone, and let me ask you just a couple other program-wide questions. Leonard Hamilton gets that contract extension, I guess is how it was phrased. I don't understand the Leonard Hamilton conundrum over there, Tom, and I don't mean to like step into other people's business, but there's too much talent going to the NBA. There's too much regular season talent. There's too much success to not have any in the postseason. I think this year was a perfect example. Does he just have a lifetime contract over there, and as long as they have a winning program and are staying out of trouble, that's going to be enough? Does FSU fan have any sort of frustration with basketball, or is it an afterthought? What is the, I guess, the temperature over there?
Yeah, I don't think afterthought is the right phrase, but it's not a basketball culture for sure. Now, Stan Wilcox, the AD, and his right-hand man are both basketball. You know, Stan played at Notre Dame, but Stan was out of the Big East. So, I mean, they're basketball guys, and they put some money into the program. I think if you look at it, and I get where the frustration is, especially when you look at this year's team was the most talented they've probably had in the Leonard Hamilton era. And so I think it's fair to say they underachieved in the postseason, but they probably overachieved during the regular season. I would say this, though. FSU historically does not get a home court edge because fans just don't come out. And if you actually stacked up where FSU is from a facility standpoint in the ACC, and I won't rank it 1 to 15. I'll just put it in tiers. They'd be in the bottom third in terms of practice arena and in terms of home court. If you put it in terms of fan interest in basketball, they'd be in the bottom third in terms of that compared to the rest of the ACC. If you did it in terms of actual talent that they've recruited, and I know they've had some NBA guys, but if you stack it up against the depth of talent that Duke and Carolina and Syracuse and Louisville and other programs have, it's actually middle of the pack ACC. It's not the top third. And then if you look at their results over the last 10 years, they have been middle of the pack, and they were top third before the ACC expanded. So all that said, what they haven't done is had ultimate NCAA success, and I think to get that, they've got to get more at-bats there. And Leonard can't afford to miss 4 years in a row and then go 1 year and just make the second round. So I do think we're at the point where the expectations are back to he's got to get this team to the tournament. 2 out of 3 years, 3 out of 4 years. I also think it's sort of lost on folks that he's approaching, and I don't know, I want to say he's 66 or 67.
I think 67, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the finish line is in sight. This is, you know, everybody wants to pull out the Bobby Bowden thing. You know, you get the Mike Martin and all that. Mike Martin does not have ambitions to coach to 80 like Bobby did. And the guy that Mike Martin is chasing for the all-time wins record, I mean, that's one season away. In Bobby's case, his competitor was still coaching. So the end was really never in sight. I mean, I think for Mike Martin, he'll go one more year. For Leonard, he's not about chasing that per se. He's run a good, clean program. His kids graduate. He puts a good product on the court. But, I don't think we're looking at 5 to 10 more years of Leonard. I think we're looking at a couple more years here probably.
Yeah, sometimes maybe ignorance can save you from your fan base. But I think if the FSU fan base got to have one of those magical runs through the tournament, it probably changes your perspective. You know, if you go to the 8 or the 4, you realize what you're missing on those years that you're talented enough to and you don't.
Yeah, well, and I think that was the frustration of this past year. At least to get to the Sweet 16 with this team they had this past year. Would have been nice and sort of a reward. That said, the stretch they had in January when they won 5 out of 6 against ranked opponents, that was as good an atmosphere as I've seen in the Civic Center, probably since the early 90s in the, you know, the Ward, Cassell, Bob Sura, Doug Edwards days, if you will. It's not a complacency. There's a big faction of fans who are tired of Leonard, but I think there's others that are, maybe more true basketball supporters that are there in the December non-conference games that understand what you're dealing. The programs Florida State competes with in the ACC, they sink as much into basketball as what FSU does into football, and there's five or six of them at that level in the ACC. So just the reality of where it is, but it would be nice to see more postseason success ultimately.
Not sure I've been more interested/excited about a college football opener as this Alabama-FSU. Man, if they only knew when they cut this deal how, you know, what it was going to look like, but they could very well meet again, you know, in that, I guess it'd be in that same building, wouldn't it? They could very well meet again in the Final Four.
They could, yeah, and the championship game is back in the same stadium. Yeah, there's a lot of excitement for a lot of reasons here. Most notably, the teams are probably going to be 1-2, but certainly both going to be in the top five. You've got the Jimbo Saban angle. You've got the opening in this brand new stadium. And really, you've just got two programs that have been, Alabama's been at the top and Florida State's been
not far from it.
Yeah, not far from it. I mean, you'd put them in the top three or the top five, I guess, in the Jimbo era, probably, in terms of what they've been able to do. Yeah, it is going to be fun. It is, this playoff era, it's a little different, though, because already it's been set up as, as long as the losing team doesn't lose 86-0.
Yeah, you don't feel that urgency that you used to in those non-conference games.
No, yeah, that's exactly right. And Florida State had that for years with Miami, where, as good as they were, you lose that one game to Miami and you're out of the national title picture. Now this one, as long as you represent well and it's an interesting game, which I think it will be, regardless of result, you've got the next week and you still got plenty to play for over the course of the rest of the season. But it will be a fun game. And I like the flip side of what we just said, Jeff, is that you do have better matchups early on.
Sure.
Like Florida's playing Michigan.
Sure.
That opening weekend of college football has become a lot of fun in terms of the intersectional matchups you get.
I don't want to speak out of turn here. I trust that your almanac of FSU football is much deeper than mine. But, could this not potentially be one of the better defenses? And we've seen a lot of good ones over there, but one of the better ones we've seen?
I think it could be. Last year there was a lot of optimism about the defense, and the key guys got dinged early, and obviously it took a while to come to fruition. But I do think they've got a chance to be pretty special defensively. Obviously, you got to stay healthy and all that, and you need to play out the season because there's been some very good defenses under Mickey Andrews. So I don't want to make comparisons before they've even set foot on the field. But when you look at a sheet of paper and you look at the depth chart, you say, yeah, this defense should be pretty good.
Tom, I appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Good luck to the Noles this weekend, and maybe back in Omaha.
Hey, thanks. Happy to jump on anytime, Jeff. And tell Hicken I said hello. Send him my best from Seminole Country.
I will, buddy. Thank you very much. All right, there he goes. Tom Block, friend of the program here on The Drill.